Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
And there was an occurrence after the game that really cracked me up. And I wanted to share it with you in case anybody missed it, because it is a football Sunday, and sometimes what happens in the basketball world may get lost. But the Knicks beat the Miami Heat. And after the game, Alan Hahn of MSG is doing an interview with Jalen Brunson on Center Court, in which everyone can hear. Right? It's one of those interviews everyone could hear.
Yes.
And so Allen asks Jalen about all the big shots some of his teammates hit in that game. Mikal Bridges had one. Josh Hart had one. And so Allen says, which of those shots was the best? I want you to listen to Jalen's answer. And really, the MVP in this discourse was not Jalen Brunson, but it was Allen Hahn. Take a listen.
You were going to pick the biggest one of the game. Which one? Putting you on the spot.
Josh. I'm going to say Josh. Unfortunately, I'm going to say Josh. You know, he's been a pretty terrible friend as of recently, but I'm going to say Josh.
Thumbs up to that. Thank you, Jalen. Mike?
All right, Alan.
He went thumbs up to that.
Oh, that's amazing.
For those that are unaware why Jalen said Josh hasn't been a great fan, a friend recently, right, is because he gave him the oil check with his thumb.
After the in-season tournament.
Yes, after
the NBA Cup championship.
After they
while they were celebrating on the podium in the middle of the court.
Thumbs up to that.
I got to tell you, Alan.
What a great pull.
That's a 10 out of 10 right there.
No doubt.
And what's great about it is I don't think that can be pre-planned. Like, I don't think he goes into the interview thinking, boy, if Jalen says anything about Josh Hart, I'll go to the thumbs up.
Right, but is that what he was talking about, him not being a good friend?
Well, what do you think it was?
I don't know. I'm just asking. Is there something else that we're not aware of?
Well,
that's kind of like a playful thing.
They have a busting of balls relationship. 100%. Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart.
Their podcast is so good.
Absolutely, the roommates podcast. So it could be about something else, but I think we are all still kind of getting over the oil check, whatever the heck it's called. There was someone else called in that week and told us there was another term for what Josh did to Jalen, and I already forgot what the term was.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
So kudos to Han. That's a 10 out of 10. Good job out of you. Now, Giant fans are enamored with the number one overall pick. If they get the number one overall pick, the thought is, as you said, they could draft whoever the heck they want. Mm-hmm. But the likeliest outcome is that they would trade the number one overall pick. Let's go to Kevin in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Appreciate you having me on right before the holiday. Wishing you all a blessed holiday.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Congrats to Hot Take Tommy, the Rodney Dangerfield of WFAN for his new show.
No respect.
But as you alluded to earlier, consensus is the Giants need players to fill multiple holes. More draft picks is, you know, more of Tiki's favorite rookies. So what I wanted to ask is, what has more value? Because potentially, you know, you could trade Dart for players that are proven. He's a somewhat proven player. You could hire, you know, you could trade him for somewhat proven players. You know, if you trade the draft pick, you're likely to get more draft picks rather than, you know, proven players. So I just want to get your thoughts on what's more valuable from a trade capital perspective, yeah, and will the Giants entertain both?
I think they probably would, but I think this is the challenge with the cap situation the Giants find themselves in. They don't have a ton of cap space going into the 2026 season. Now, the cap, as I've always said, is fungible, and so there are ways around it and to create space, but they're not going in like the Jets with $100+ million in cap space. So, yes, you can draft guys, or if you're the Jets, you can also go crazy in free agency.
Right.
So, I don't think the Jets will do that, by the way, but if the Giants had cap space, free agency would be the way to think about filling some of those holes, because with rookies, it just extends that ability to get good right away.
They're also a lot cheaper, though.
100% they're cheaper, but you don't know. You just don't know, right? So you're going to have a draft, and it's not like you're having two drafts in a season. You're going to have 7 to 8 new players, and how many of them are going to hit for you right away? You don't know the answer. And so you got to fill some free agency. Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent. One of the other offensive linemen is a free agent as well. Now, obviously, you drafted Marcus Bowe, so he's there. Maybe he can fill a hole for you. But there is a lot of roster maneuvering that the Giants still have to do to get viable for next season with whoever the new head coach is.
Which is why trading that number one overall pick for a host of draft picks is appealing.
Yes.
Now, you obviously then have to make the right decisions, and as you say, they're rookies, mm-hmm, and rookies suck, but that's the likeliest outcome. Now, the other thing he threw out there is the thing I dared to bring up a week ago, and you guys all thought I was trolling, which is the idea of using that pick to draft a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart. I think that every conversation needs to be on the table when you finish 2-15. And so I suggest that conversation be put on the table.
Right.
But I doubt the Giants will do it. And here's a part of why they won't do it. And I guess you could ask me and other Jet fans this question. What would I give up for Mendoza versus what would I give up for Jackson Dart? And the truth is, and it's not even like that rational, but my brain works this way too, I'm giving up less for Jackson Dart. And I think the reason is because once the car is off of the lot. The lot.
It depreciates.
It depreciates. One less year of control.
Like, mm-hmm. Idiots with idiots.
I'm a year into the lease.
I saved him on that one.
Thank you. I never actually screwed
it
up the idiot.
Screw it up. He just paused it for a while.
Yeah. I allowed Tiki to fix it. So I did. But if Jackson Dart was made available via trade, yeah, he would not get the return.
No, you're right.
That the number one overall,
right,
pick.
Because the bloom is off. You know, you said it before. And so we know that he's talented. And I think I've said this really my entire career, no one loves you like your mama, like the team that drafts you. Because as soon as you go someplace else, it's kind of like, okay, we love him, but you got to now prove it again. So I think the Giant fan, the Giant organization, loves Jackson Dart. Because they drafted him. He's their guy. If he were to go someplace else, it'd be like, all right, what are you bringing? Like, prove it to us. I know what you did there. It's not like this is a 6-7 year, you know, multiple Pro Bowl veteran.
Did you do that on purpose?
What? Nothing. Oh yeah, kind of. No, just it's now in my head. it's in my head. Whenever I have to throw mid numbers out, yeah. I always go 6-7. I used to go 3-4. Sometimes I'd say 5-6. Now I always say 6-7.
Last night,
I don't even know why.
Last night I was at Nets Raptors with both of my sons. I pulled something off I've never pulled off of. I took both my sons to a sporting event, just me.
Wow.
And I was able to pull it off.
It's impressive.
At one point in the game, it was tied 67-67.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. And both of them were like, take a picture, Dad!
They were like going crazy with their hands.
Yeah.
6-7! 6-7! 6-7! 6-7!
The Nets still in the league.
That was well done, Tiggy. And by the way, since you didn't believe me, here's the picture of the scoreboard. What does it say?
It says 67-67.
That's right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Michael Porter Jr. at 22-8 at that point. Not
wow,
bad.
That's impressive.
A third of their production.
No wonder they're winning.
They're red hot.
It's amazing they lose when they sit them.
Let's go to Angel in Brooklyn. What's up, Angel?
What's up, Angel?
6-7 was the biggest thing from the Nets game, huh?
Yeah, clearly. Far and away.
I mean, they got the W, so.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, dude.
Yeah. Listen, every time I hear, like, people saying, like, oh, he's the guy, meaning Dart, it sounds like they're kind of convincing themselves. To be honest, I don't know. Do you feel like if Dart doesn't learn how to slide, that he's going to wind up going the way of Tua?
Tua took some bad shots. Tua's a concussion issue. It's nothing to joke about. It felt career threatening. It really did. I mean, because they happen so frequently over that 2 or 3 year span. Jackson Dart, let's be clear. He's been in the tent seven times, whatever number it is. Again, 6-7. But he's only been diagnosed with one concussion, right? And it's not like you go into the tent and they just let you come out and go back and play if you're compromised. And so he's suffered one concussion. He missed 2 weeks because of it, as is the norm, because it's just really hard to get back into, get clear the protocol. But it's not like he's had four concussions this season.
No.
He's had one concussion.
But I think the fear is he will end up having multiple concussions.
Yes.
Not that he's had it yet.
Yes.
But that because of his style of play,
well, so
and the fact he's already suffered one that we know of, that could lead to him 5-6 years from now being Tua.
I don't think so. I think Tua's was he seemed more susceptible to him. Because it seemed like every time he got hit, he had a concussion.
Here's what I know about Tua, who is no longer going to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback next year. Obviously, he was benched this previous week. He has not been the same guy. He just wasn't. Let's not forget how good Tua was in 2023 when he threw for 4,600 yards.
Right, and nobody throws for 4,000 yards anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty good accomplishment. And after that, he suffers the concussions in 2024. And not that he's unplayable. He's just average. He's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
His career has clearly taken a hit since this occurred. Now, is that Jackson Dart 5 years from now? I hope not. But I understand the concerns because he does play with a reckless style at
times. But I also, and I've said this multiple times, I think there's a way to learn how to, like, learning how to fall is really one of the most important things you do. Because when you get hit and you're falling backwards, it's not really going forward. Going forward, you can brace yourself. You see the ground coming. You know when to, you know, how to prevent your head from hitting it. It's when you're falling backwards that you really have to ingrain, look at my feet, right? And my coaches always tell me, look down, because it keeps your head from smashing into the ground. But it's hard to do that when you get hit hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so no doubt.
But there is a methodology to taking hits and staying safe. Jackson Dart hasn't learned it yet.
We have breaking NFL news that's really going to confuse Tommy. Mm. So I want you to try to stay focused on this.
Okay.
The Kansas City Chiefs
are
leaving the state of Missouri and will officially announce a move to Kansas today. And I know what Tommy's thinking. I thought they were in Kansas. You all right over there?
So now
they're building a new stadium.
They are building a brand new stadium. A state-of-the-art venue capable of hosting major year-round events. I wonder if that means it's a dome.
It has to be.
I would think so, yeah. So, yeah, they're moving from Kansas City, Missouri to, I don't know if it's Kansas City, Kansas, but it's somewhere in Kansas, I would say. So, yeah. How you doing there, Tommy?
The whole thing just is so stupid. Why don't they just merge Missouri and Kansas together so nobody gets confused there? And why were the Chiefs not in Kansas City, Kansas to begin with? Why are they in Kansas City, Missouri?
Because that's where they play.
But someone had to decide that. The whole thing
Why not? I mean, Kansas City, Missouri is bigger than Kansas City,
Kansas.
But
it's so dumb. There's no Albany. There's no Albany in Connecticut. So why don't we just have a Kansas City in Kansas City and no Kansas City in Missouri? It's just dumb to me.
All right.
It is. I mean, you're the geographical guy. You're the Capitals
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, there's Kansas City.
Isn't this controversy in the Capitals world?
I don't know how they feel in Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, if there's a rivalry of sorts. Like, hey, our Kansas City's better. Right. I have no idea.
They're our Chiefs. No, they're our Chiefs. No, what are you talking about? It's our Chiefs.
All I know is the Chiefs are moving. But I can't figure out if it's a dome stadium or not.
Well, it sounds
like Jackson County in Missouri, where they were, at the last minute, pitched a dome stadium
right
to the Chiefs, but apparently it did not pass muster, and so now they're moving to Kansas. Details to be, I guess, eventually released out. It's not in the article that I'm reading.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's honestly, as someone who doesn't live there, my biggest interest is it a dome or not? Because that obviously affects all of us as football fans.
If it's a year-round venue.
No, the way it's worded would make you think it's a dome. I agree. Oh, here it is. It's a new dome, Chiefs Stadium. I hate it.
You would think Taylor Swift is going to have a residency there as well.
Mm. Probably.
I hate that as well, too, by the way.
A dome stadium?
I think part of the great characters of the Kansas City Chiefs' run has been the weather.
Absolutely.
Think about the Miami Dolphins going up there two seasons ago.
Yep.
And it's not cold. It doesn't look like your faces are saying it's not cold when they were shell-shocked. So that's an advantage.
I agree with
you. You're now going to lose.
I agree with you.
Is it possible it's retractable, dome?
It doesn't matter because you eliminate the cold weather game because they're not going to leave the dome open if it's 15 degrees outside.
I think they could leave it open. Maybe you close it for precipitation. So you leave it open unless it's raining or I don't know.
They're not going to do that. That all sounds nice and all. That's not what happens.
You can stipulate whatever you want.
I know, but once a dome is built, everyone wants to be comfortable. And I do think you lose an advantage. And I've made this argument before about the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings went to 4 Super Bowls. They have not been to 1 since they went indoors.
That's a good point.
Now, you could say it's a coincidence and the Vikings are just inept, but I think they lost a distinct home field advantage. Especially in a division that they share with 2 cold weather teams mm-hmm. who do have an advantage when they're outside in the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. And watch, the Bears are going to build a dome too. And so eventually, the Packers are going to be the only team in the
right.
NFC North playing outside.
The frozen tundra.
The frozen tundra. Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What's up, dude?
Merry Christmas.
It took me a week, and I hate to admit it, but what Evan said last week as I was watching that filth on TV yesterday does make sense. Hear me out. When you're that dysfunctional, like top to bottom, you have to purge everybody. The losers, like, you need a full revamp. And what this team has tried to do since Eli's last few years is dictate who the quarterback is going to be to the new coach. They did it with Shermer. Then they did it with DJ and Daboll. So you can't go into the season saying Dart is your quarterback while still trying to rebuild. You need to let the new coach and the GM make that decision. If they want to keep him, that's fine. Or if they want to trade him, while the value might not be the same as the number one pick, it has to be a viable option because this is not a simple fix. You got to reset the whole thing.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming around because when I brought this point up a week ago, I wasn't doing it the way Colin Cowherd does it, which is this is what the Giants have to do, and everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
It was simply, we have to have a conversation about this because the Giants are really bad and everything should be on the table.
Yeah.
Not Jackson Dart sucks. They have to trade him. Mendoza's better. I think that as part of an offseason, we're going to do it with the Jets. We're going to do it with the Giants. Everything's on the table. You talk about all these different possibilities, and what I brought up last week was not that you have to trade Jackson Dart, but we need to at least have a conversation. If you're picking number one overall,
mm-hmm.
one of the possibilities is drafting a Fernando Mendoza and trading Jackson Dart. And I think that, not that this game should change anyone's view, I think the record should change everybody's view. That when you are this bad, Nobody should be safe.
Yeah, so
everything should be on the table.
All right, so last year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Matt Eberflus was a horrendous head coach.
Yes.
Offensive coordinator Shane Waldron was bad. He got fired middle of the season as well. Everybody thought the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, was in this exact same situation that we're talking about with Jackson Dart. Yeah, when he didn't look that great last year, his rookie season, it had left a lot to be desired, whatever, completion percentage, touchdown, he didn't throw a ton of interceptions, but whatever. The new head coach might not like him. You get a new head coach, Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson could have easily walked in and said, yeah, you're not my guy. You know what Ben Johnson did?
Made him his guy.
He made him his guy, and he's coached him. Now, his stats are actually, completion percentage-wise, are down from a year ago, but he's making a lot less mistakes. He's not getting sacked nearly as much. And they're 11-4.
Yeah.
So I know what the thought process is and thinking about it. But you also have to have faith that the Giants are going to hire somebody who's going to do right by the guy that they just drafted a year ago.
I think what our last caller is suggesting is that when they do this coaching search and potentially a GM search, more on that in a little bit, they have to be open-minded to what that person wants. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson clearly believed in Caleb Williams, and it's worked. I mean, the Chicago Bears are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, which is a stunning statement if I would have said that in the middle of August. And it's right. A credit to him, and it's a credit to Caleb, and it's a credit to that organization. They've done a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they allowed him to make that decision. And if the Giants are hiring a new general manager and a new head coach, I think they have to be open-minded. The other thing to keep in mind is Caleb Williams started every single game last year. His team went 5-12, but he started all 17 games. That has not been the case here with Jackson Dart.
No.
He's missed time.
Yeah, he's missed two games. And he didn't play, so he'll end up playing 12 games.
I understand. But it's just it's a factor.
Of course.
You have to keep it in mind.
Of course.
And then the way he's been coached, at least last week, is almost like they're afraid of him missing any more time. Mm-hmm. So I think all things need to just be considered when comparing Jackson Dart and Caleb Williams. But, oh.
We have a trade with the Mets here.
We got a Mets trade?
We do.
Is it a significant trade?
Is this a good trade?
Hold on.
Don't ask Tommy that. Okay, Tommy, are you happy about this?
Very.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm very excited. I have no idea. I've not looked at my chat. I'm closing my tablet. Are we getting a pitcher or are we getting a position player?
It's more about what we're giving up than what we're getting.
They've dumped Jeff McNeil.
They have.
Wow.
To the Oakland A's, and the Mets are acquiring a minor league pitcher and cash.
Oh, jeez. Man, this is a complete teardown of what was.
Wow.
That's clearly what the plan was for the New York Mets. Get rid of what was and we're restarting.
I mean, you talk about the core being completely flushed out.
I mean, is it now fully?
Yes. I mean, other than Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. Let's go, Mets! Wow, So how much money are they picking up on Jeff McNeil's contract? Because that was part of the issue. Like, they were going to have to pay a part of it. How much are they throwing in? Any details on that?
Still waiting on all the details.
And they did get a minor league player?
Minor league
player. Do you have a name by chance?
It just says minor league pitcher and cash. Still waiting all the details. Do we need a name?
Minor league.
It could be Thomas Barber. Who cares? They got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Addition by subtraction. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that it's been obvious for a while that they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. They're never going to get a lot back, clearly, but they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. Even when David Stern said, well, he's got a lot of versatility. Right now, he's the opening day left fielder. We'll see. He's so valuable. I think, especially when they signed Jorge Polanco, who's better than Jeff McNeil and can play all over the infield, it almost became obvious that McNeil would be gone. So he is gone. And poor Jeff, he's going to Sacramento to play for the A's. Boy, what an F you to him.
Well, at least it's California.
It is California.
The weather's nice.
Well, Sacramento's California.
It is California, but it's not the...
I don't know if Sacramento counts.
Think of all the cities in California, Sacramento.
I have never been to Sacramento.
Really? Me neither. I've never been there. Tommy, big question for you.
Of course.
And Pete Hoffman is back there. I'm sure he wants to know as well. Is this Rico Bronya worthy? Do we have to do a Jeff McNeil's gone Rico?
I think you have to do only a Jeff, but just all these guys. Nimmo, Alonso, Jeff are now all gone.
Are you
going to
do a celebration of the Jeff McNeil years with the Mets?
It's a great question.
Like,
so,
what kind of Rico would you do for Jeff McNeil?
It's a great question because debuting, I think tomorrow, is our Brandon Nimmo tribute. We have a Brandon Nimmo tribute on the Rico Bronya. We haven't decided what to do with Edwin Diaz. Alonso will get a tribute in a few months.
He deserves it.
No question, but you're right about Jeff McNeil. I mean, here's a guy who was there for 8 years. He won a batting title.
And then he got immediately bad after that.
He did. Does he deserve a Rico Bronya tribute? I got to think about that one, Teague. It's a great question.
This is the Rico Brodna Podcast.
By the way, we have more details. This is from Jeff Passan. The Mets will receive a rookie ball arm in the deal.
A rookie ball arm. So he basically got traded for a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old.
Did they give you a name yet?
And they had to give cash?
The Mets will also be sending cash to help cover McNeil's, $15.75 million salary, plus the $2 million buyout and a club option for next year. Mm. Were they paying for his flight, too? Right. I'm moving?
They dumped him for a bag of balls. They dumped him.
Do you have a name of this rookie ball player we got? Or is it just still some floating head?
No, this is like in wrestling.
This is
from parts unknown.
To be drafted.
Jet Roberts, maybe? Is that the name?
Well, it's not a surprise they had to pick up money. I mean, he's making $15.7 million plus that buyout he mentioned. Like, no one was just going to take it. So the Mets were going to have to pick up some cash to get the deal done. I got to admit, Tommy, I'm disappointed. Because when you said trade, I was like, all right, we got a new ball player.
I know.
I'm excited. Yesterday, Wilson Contreras went to Boston. I still want a real first baseman. And then you give me, it's addition by subtraction. We got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Right, but I think that a lot of Met fans out there that have soured on Jeff McNeil, which is like 99% of the audience, fan base, would be very upset if Alonso gone, Diaz gone, Nimmo gone, and somehow Jeff McNeil remained.
If you're stripping down, you might as well get everybody out.
I agree with you, and I am in favor of moving on from him, but it's just another piece of production that needs to be replaced. I know he's not a great ball player, but he hit 12 home runs last year at a 750 OPS. Like, he was a human who existed and had some production.
But they've already replaced him.
What?
They already replaced Jeff McNeil.
Well, they did in terms of second base, but they have two holes in the outfield. And so if you looked at Semien as replacing Nimmo, mm-hmm. or I should say Polanco as replacing Nimmo, and Semien just being an upgrade at second, they still have to replace Pete Alonso and now Jeff McNeil.
But Evan, if you got rid of the fridge in your kitchen and your wife said, well, what are we doing? You're like, well, we're going to put a new fridge there. Like, they're obviously going to trade for an outfielder.
But we don't know who, and that's the big question.
Would they be better than Jeff McNeil, though, in all likelihood?
I don't know. Is Luis Robert Jr. better than Jeff McNeil?
Yes.
The stats would tell you you're wrong.
Is his potential not better than Jeff McNeil?
No, I like Luis Robert Jr. I've had to sell him on both of you. I'm just saying, we don't know.
Robert Jr. feels like he just needs a change of scenery.
I've said that.
Right.
I think you're just repeating what I've told you.
Maybe I am, but it just, the White Sox are just, are they even trying?
By the way, they just signed Munetaka Murakami. They're going for it, baby.
And I saw in the Met chat, how soon till he gets traded?
That was me.
Exactly.
That was me saying that.
Yes. And you're right.
You know how I know that Tiki just repeated something I said? So the other day, the rumors have continued to heat up about mm-hmm. Luis Robert Jr. And I remember right after the Mets traded Brandon Nimmo, I brought his name up. Yes. And you, Tommy, and Sean were like yelling at me, like, stop with this Luis Robert Jr. That's not what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Well, it just seemed like the lowest and easiest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even have to jump to grab that apple.
It's so easy, yet the White Sox still haven't traded him.
Not true.
But when I said to you, Luis Robert Jr., you kept putting it on me, like, do you want him? And I'm like, I think he's a buy-low candidate. Because 2 years ago, he was really good. And then finally, I said to you, I think Luis Robert Jr. just needs to change his scenery. And you're like, whatever, I think he stinks. And now you've come along, you're like, Evan, I think he needs to change his scenery.
No, I'm just saying, if
where's
you get
Simpatico?
Him, well, who else are you going after?
There's a few options. Cody Bellinger, I think, is still someone they're targeting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get him, but I think he's still someone that they're hoping they may be able to sign. I'm not confident they're going to sign Cody Bellinger because I don't think the Mets are going to go to 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't.
It's just not in the operating manual for David Stearns.
Yeah, I read.
It's not what he likes to do with aging players.
Right, and he will be aging. And Will Salmon wrote something interesting in The Athletic about, he was basically prodding the Mets to sign Cody Bellinger
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, sometimes you have to be uncomfortable, which we've talked about a lot in free agency. And he said, ideally, the Mets would love if Bellinger's market fell to 4 years. Well, here's the problem. If Cody Bellinger has to settle for a 4-year deal, he's going back to the Yankees.
Mm.
He's not leaving.
Why would he? Yeah. Why would he leave for something less than what the Yankees are offering?
And the Yankees, I think we all assume, will at least be offering Cody Bellinger a 4-year contract. So this idea that, well, the Mets would love to get Bellinger on a 4-year deal, I don't think they get him on a 4-year deal. Either way, breaking news, if you're just tuning in, the New York Mets have officially dumped Jeff McNeil. He is now a member of the Athletics. And they got back a single A pitcher who does not have a name yet. Once we get a name, we'll pass it along. I just want to look at some human and say, oh, that's the guy they got back.
Yeah, you want to feel some level of optimism, even if the kid has no chance of ever playing in the majors.
He's a single A player. You never know.
Fred?
Well, what do you think of
this? I don't know. I'm just asking. Is there something else that we're not aware of?
Well,
that's kind of like a playful thing.
They have a busting of balls relationship,
100%.
Jalen Brunson and Josh
Hart. That's why their podcast is so good.
Absolutely. The Roommates podcast. So it could be about something else, but I think we are all still kind of getting over the oil check, whatever the heck it's called. Someone else called in that week and told us there was another term for what Josh did to Jalen. And I already forgot what the term was.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
So kudos to Han. That's a 10 out of 10. Good job out of you. Now, Giant fans are enamored with the number one overall pick. If they get the number one overall pick, the thought is, as you said, they could draft whoever the heck they want.
Mm-hmm.
But the likeliest outcome is that they would trade the number one overall pick. Let's go to Kevin in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Appreciate you having me on right before the holiday. Wishing you all a blessed holiday.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Congrats to Hot Take Tommy, the Rodney Dangerfield of WFAN for his new show.
No respect.
But as you alluded to earlier, consensus is the Giants need players to fill multiple holes. More draft picks is, more of Tiki's favorite rookies. So what I wanted to ask is, what has more value? Because potentially, you could trade Dart for players that are proven. He's a somewhat proven player. You could trade him for somewhat proven players. if you trade the draft pick, you're likely to get more draft picks rather than, you know, proven players. So I just want to get your thoughts on what's more valuable from a trade capital perspective, yeah. And will the Giants entertain both?
I think they probably would, but I think this is the challenge with the cap situation the Giants find themselves in. They don't have a ton of cap space going into the 2026 season. Now, the cap, as I've always said, is fungible, and so there are ways around it and to create space, but they're not going in like the Jets with $100+ million in cap space. So, yes, you can draft guys, or if you're the Jets, you can also go crazy in free agency.
Right.
So I don't think the Jets will do that, by the way, but if the Giants had cap space, free agency would be the way to think about filling some of those holes, because with rookies, it just extends that ability to get good right away.
They're also a lot cheaper, though.
100% they're cheaper, but you don't know. You just don't know, right? So you're going to have a draft, and it's not like you're having two drafts in a season. You're going to have 7 to 8 new players, and how many of them are going to hit for you right away? You don't know the answer. And so you got to fill some free agency. Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent. One of the other offensive linemen is a free agent as well. Now, obviously, you drafted Marcus Bowe, so he's there. Maybe he can fill a hole for you. But there is a lot of roster maneuvering that the Giants still have to do to get viable for next season with whoever the new head coach
Which is why trading that number one overall pick for a host of draft picks is appealing.
Yes.
Now, you obviously then have to make the right decisions, and as you say, they're rookies, mm-hmm. and rookies suck, but that's the likeliest outcome. Now, the other thing he threw out there is the thing I dared to bring up a week ago, and you guys all thought I was trolling, which is the idea of using that pick to draft a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart. I think that every conversation needs to be on the table when you finish 2-15. And so I suggest that conversation be put on the table.
Right.
But I doubt the Giants will do it. And here's a part of why they won't do it. And I guess you could ask me and other Jet fans this question. What would I give up for Mendoza versus what would I give up for Jackson Dart? And the truth is, and it's not even like that rational, but my brain works this way too. I'm giving up less for Jackson Dart. And I think the reason is because once the car is off of the lot. The lot.
It depreciates.
It depreciates. One less year of control.
Like, mm-hmm. Idiots with idiots.
I'm a year into the lease.
I saved him on that one.
Thank you. I never actually screwed up the idiot.
Screw it up. He just paused it for a while.
Yeah. I allowed Tiki to fix it.
Well, I did.
But if Jackson Dart was made available via trade,
yeah.
He would not get the return
that
the number one overall
pick. Because the bloom is off. You know, you said it before. And so we know that he's talented. And I think I've said this really my entire career, no one loves you like your mama, like the team that drafts you. Because as soon as you go someplace else, it's kind of like, okay, we love him, but you got to now prove it again. So I think the Giant fan, the Giant organization, loves Jackson Dart. They drafted him. He's their guy. If he were to go someplace else, it'd be like, all right, what are you bringing? Like, prove it to us. I know what you did there. It's not like this is a 6-7 year, you know, multiple Pro Bowl veteran.
Did you do that on purpose?
What?
Nothing.
Oh yeah, kind of. No, it's now in my head. It's in my head. Whenever I have to throw mid numbers out, I always go 6-7. I used to go 3-4. Sometimes I'd say 5-6. Now I always say 6-7.
Last night,
I don't even know why.
Last night I was at Nets Raptors with both of my sons. I pulled something off I've never pulled off of. I took both my sons to a sporting event, just me.
Wow.
And I was able to pull it off.
It's impressive.
At one point in the game, it was tied 67-67.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. And both of them were like, take a picture, Dad!
They were like going crazy with their hands.
Yeah.
6-7! 6-7! 6-7! 6-7!
The Nets still in the league.
That was well done, Tiki. And by the way, since you didn't believe me, here's the picture of the scoreboard. What does it say?
It says 67-67.
That's right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Michael Porter Jr. at 22-8 at that point. Not bad.
That's impressive.
A third of their production.
No wonder they're winning.
They're red hot.
It's amazing they lose when they sit them.
Let's go to Angel in Brooklyn. What's up, Angel?
What's up, Angel?
6-7 was the biggest thing from the Nets game, huh?
Yeah, clearly. Far and away.
I mean, they got the W, so.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, every time I hear like people saying like, oh, he's the guy, meaning Dart. It sounds like they're kind of convincing themselves. To be honest, I don't know. Do you feel like if Dart doesn't learn how to slide, that he's going to wind up going the way of Tua?
I don't. I mean, Tua took some bad shots. Tua's a concussion issue. It's nothing to joke about. It felt career threatening. It really did. I mean, because they happen so frequently over that 2 or 3 year span. Jackson Dart. Let's be clear. He's been in the tent six times, seven times, seven, whatever number, it is. Again, 6-7, but he's only been diagnosed with one concussion, right? And it's not like you go into the tent and they just let you come out and go back and play if you're compromised. And so he's suffered one concussion. He missed 2 weeks because of it, as is the norm, because it's just really hard to get back into, get clear of the protocol. But it's not like he's had four concussions this season.
No.
He's had one concussion.
But I think the fear is he will end up having multiple concussions.
Yes.
Not that he's had it yet.
Yes.
But that because of his style of play,
well,
and the fact he's already suffered one that we know of, that could lead to him 5-6 years from now being Tua.
I don't think so. I think Tua's was he seemed more susceptible to him. Because it seemed like every time he got hit, he had a concussion.
Here's what I know about Tua, who is no longer going to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback next year. Obviously, he was benched this previous week. He has not been the same guy. He just wasn't. Let's not forget how good Tua was in 2023 when he threw for 4,600 yards.
Right, and nobody throws for 4,000 yards anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good accomplishment. And after that, he suffers the concussions in 2024. And not that he's unplayable, he's just average. He's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
His career has clearly taken a hit since this occurred. Now, is that Jackson Dart 5 years from now? I hope not. But I understand the concerns because he does play with a reckless style at times.
But I also, and I've said this multiple times, I think there's a way to learn how to, like, learning how to fall is really one of the most important things you do, because when you get hit and you're falling backwards, it's not really going forward. Going forward, you can brace yourself. You see the ground coming. You know when to, you know how to prevent your head from hitting it. It's when you're falling backwards that you really have to ingrain, look at my feet, right? And my coaches always tell me, look down, because it keeps your head from smashing into the ground. But it's hard to do that when you get hit hard. You know what I mean?
And yeah, so, no doubt.
But there is a methodology to taking hits and staying safe. Jackson Dart hasn't learned it yet.
We have breaking NFL news that's really going to confuse Tommy. Mm. So I want you to try to stay focused on this.
Okay.
The Kansas City Chiefs
are
leaving the state of Missouri and will officially announce a move to Kansas today. And I know what Tommy's thinking. I thought they were in Kansas. You all right over there?
So now
they're building a new stadium.
They are building a brand new stadium. A state-of-the-art venue capable of hosting major year-round events. I wonder if that means it's a dome.
It has to be.
I would think so, yeah. So, yeah, they're moving from Kansas City, Missouri to, I don't know if it's Kansas City, Kansas, but it's somewhere in Kansas, I would say. So, yeah. How you doing there, Tommy?
The whole thing just is so stupid. Why don't they just merge Missouri and Kansas together so nobody gets confused at that? And why were the Chiefs not in Kansas City, Kansas to begin with? Why are they in Kansas City, Missouri?
Because that's where they play.
But someone had to decide that. The whole thing
Why not? I mean, Kansas City, Missouri is bigger than Kansas City,
but there's
Kansas.
No, it's so dumb. There's no Albany. There's no Albany in Connecticut. So why don't we just have a Kansas City in Kansas City and no Kansas City in Missouri? It's just dumb to me.
All right.
It is. I mean, you're the geographical guy. You're the capitals.
Yeah, there's Kansas City.
Isn't this controversy in the capitals world?
I don't know how they feel in Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, if there's a rivalry of sorts. Like, hey, our Kansas City's better. Right. I have no idea.
They're our Chiefs. No, they're our Chiefs. No, what are you talking about? It's our Chiefs.
All I know is the Chiefs are moving. But I can't figure out if it's a dome stadium or not.
Well, how can
it
not
sounds
be?
Like Jackson County and Missouri, where they were at the last minute, pitched a dome stadium to the Chiefs, but apparently it did not pass muster, and so now they're moving to Kansas. Details to be, I guess, eventually released out. It's not in the article that I'm reading.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's honestly, as someone who doesn't live there, my biggest interest is it a dome or not? Because that obviously affects all of us as football fans.
If it's a year-round venue,
no, the way it's worded would make you think it's a dome. I agree. Oh, here it is. It's a new dome, Chiefs Stadium. I hate it.
You would think Taylor Swift is going to have a residency there as well.
Mm. Probably.
I hate that as well, too, by the way.
A dome stadium?
I think part of the great characters of the Kansas City Chiefs' run has been the weather.
Absolutely.
Think about the Miami Dolphins going up there two seasons ago, yep. And it's not cold. It doesn't look like your faces are saying it's not cold when they were shell-shocked. So that's an advantage.
I agree with you.
You're now going to lose.
I agree with you.
Is it possible it's retractable, dome?
It doesn't matter because you eliminate the cold weather game because they're not going to leave the dome open if it's 15 degrees outside.
I think they could leave it open. Maybe you close it for precipitation. So you leave it open unless it's raining or I don't know.
They're not going to do that. All sounds nice and all. That's not what happens.
You can stipulate whatever you want.
I know, but once a dome is built, everyone wants to be comfortable. And I do think you lose an advantage. And I've made this argument before about the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings went to 4 Super Bowls. They have not been to 1 since they went indoors.
That's a good point.
Now, you could say it's a coincidence and the Vikings are just inept, but I think they lost a distinct home field advantage. Especially in a division that they share with 2 cold weather teams mm-hmm. who do have an advantage when they're outside in the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. And watch, the Bears are going to build a dome too. And so eventually, the Packers are going to be the only team in the
right.
NFC North playing outside.
The frozen tundra.
Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What's up, dude?
Merry Christmas.
It took me a week, and I hate to admit it, but what Evan said last week as I was watching that filth on TV yesterday does make sense. Now, hear me out. When you're that dysfunctional, like top to bottom, you have to purge everybody. The losers, like, you need a full revamp. And what this team has tried to do since Eli's last few years is dictate who the quarterback is going to be to the new coach. They did it with Shermer, then they did it with DJ and Daboll. So you can't go into this season saying Dart is your quarterback while still trying to rebuild. You need to let the new coach and the GM make that decision. If they want to keep him, that's fine. Or if they want to trade him, while the value might not be the same as the number one pick, it has to be a viable option because this is not a simple fix. You got to reset the whole thing.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming around because when I brought this point up a week ago, I wasn't doing it the way Colin Cowherd does it, which is this is what the Giants have to do, and everyone freaks out.
Yeah,
it was simply we have to have a conversation about this because the Giants are really bad and everything should be on the table.
Yeah,
not Jackson Dart sucks. They have to trade him. Mendoza's better. I think that as part of an offseason, we're going to do it with the Jets, we're going to do it with the Giants, everything's on the table. You talk about all these different possibilities, and what I brought up last week was not that you have to trade Jackson Dart, but we need to at least have a conversation. If you're picking number one overall, mm-hmm. one of the possibilities is drafting a Fernando Mendoza and trading Jackson Dart. And I think that, not that this game should change anyone's view, I think the record should change everybody's view. That when you are this bad, nobody should be safe.
Yeah, so
everything should be on the table.
All right, so last year, Matt Eberflus was a horrendous head coach.
Yes.
Offensive coordinator Shane Waldron was bad. He got fired middle of the season as well. Everybody thought the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, was in this exact same situation that we're talking about with Jackson Dart. Yeah, when he didn't look that great last year, his rookie season, it had left a lot to be desired, whatever, completion percentage, touchdown, he didn't throw a ton of interceptions, but whatever. The new head coach might not like him. You get a new head coach, Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson could have easily walked in and said, yeah, you're not my guy. You know what Ben Johnson did?
Made him his guy.
He made him his guy, and he's coached him. Now, his stats are actually, completion percentage-wise, are down from a year ago, but he's making a lot less mistakes. He's not getting sacked nearly as much, and they're 11-4.
Yeah.
So I know what the thought process is and thinking about it, but you also have to have faith that the Giants are going to hire somebody who's going to do right by the guy that they just drafted a year ago.
I think what our last caller is suggesting is that when they do this coaching search and potentially a GM search, more on that in a little bit,
They have to be open-minded to what that person wants. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson clearly believed in Caleb Williams, and it's worked. I mean, the Chicago Bears are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, which is a stunning statement if I would have said that in the middle of August. And it's right. A credit to him, and it's a credit to Caleb, and it's a credit to that organization. They've done a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they allowed him to make that decision. And if the Giants are hiring a new general manager and a new head coach, I think they have to be open-minded. The other thing to keep in mind is Caleb Williams started every single game last year. His team went 5-12, but he started all 17 games. That has not been the case here with Jackson Dart.
No.
He's missed time.
Yeah, he's missed two games.
I understand.
And he didn't play, so he'll end up playing 12 games.
I understand. But it's just it's a factor.
Of course.
We have to keep it in mind.
Of course.
And then the way he's been coached, at least last week, is almost like they're afraid of him missing any more time. Mm-hmm. So I think all things need to just be considered when comparing Jackson Dart and Caleb Williams. But oh.
We have a trade with the Mets here.
We got a Mets trade?
We do.
Is it a significant trade?
Is this a good trade?
Hold on.
Are you
don't ask Tommy
okay.
that.
Okay, Tommy, are you happy about this?
Very.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm very excited. I have no idea. I've not looked at my chat. I'm closing my tablet. Are we getting a pitcher or are we getting a position player?
It's more about what we're giving up than what we're getting.
They've dumped Jeff McNeil.
They have.
Wow.
To the Oakland A's, and the Mets are acquiring a minor league pitcher and cash.
Oh, jeez. Man, this is a complete teardown of what was.
Wow.
That's clearly what the plan was for the New York Mets. Get rid of what was and we're restarting.
I mean, you talk about the core being completely flushed out.
I mean, is it now fully?
Yes. I mean, other than Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. Let's go Mets. Wow. So how much money are they picking up on Jeff McNeil's contract? Because that was part of the issue. Like, they were going to have to pay a part of it. How much are they throwing in? Any details on that?
Still waiting on all the details.
And they did get a minor league player?
Minor league
player. Do you have a name by chance?
It just says minor league pitcher and cash. Still waiting all the details. Do we need a name?
Minor league.
It could be Thomas Barber. Who cares? They got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Addition by subtraction. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that it's been obvious for a while that they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. They were never going to get a lot back, clearly,
mm-hmm.
but they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. Even when David Stern said, well, he's got a lot of versatility. Right now, he's the opening day left fielder. We'll see. He's so valuable. I think especially when they signed Jorge Polanco, who's better than Jeff McNeil and can play all over the infield, it almost became obvious that McNeil would be gone. So he is gone. And poor Jeff, he's going to Sacramento to play for the A's. Boy, what an F you to him.
Well, at least it's California.
It is California.
The weather's nice.
Well, Sacramento's California.
It is California, but it's not the...
I don't know if Sacramento counts.
Think of all the cities in California, Sacramento's on.
I have never been to Sacramento.
Really? Me neither. I've never been there. Tommy, big question for you.
Of course.
And Pete Hoffman is back there. I'm sure he wants to know as well. Is this Rico Bronya worthy? Do we have to do a Jeff McNeil is gone Rico?
I think you have to do only a Jeff, but just all these guys. Nimmo, Alonso, Jeff are now all
gone.
Are
you going to do a celebration of the Jeff McNeil years with the Mets?
It's a great question.
Like,
so,
what kind of Rico would you do for Jeff McNeil?
It's a great question because debuting, I think tomorrow, is our Brandon Nimmo tribute. Mm. We have a Brandon Nimmo tribute on the Rico Bronya. We haven't decided what to do with Edwin Diaz. Alonso will get a tribute in a few months.
He deserves it.
No question, but you're right about Jeff McNeil. I mean, here's a guy who was there for 8 years. He won a batting title.
Mm-hmm. And then he got immediately bad after that.
He did. Does he deserve a Rico Bronya tribute? I got to think about that one, Teague. It's a great question.
This is the Rico Brodna Podcast.
By the way, we have more details. This is from Jeff Passan. The Mets will receive a rookie ball arm in the deal.
A rookie ball arm. So he basically got traded for a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old.
Did they give you a name yet?
And they had to give cash?
The Mets will also be sending cash to help cover McNeil's, $15.75 million salary, plus the $2 million buyout and a club option for next year. Mm. Were they paying for his flight, too? Right. And moving?
They dumped him for a bag of balls. Jeez. They dumped him.
Do you have a name of this rookie ball player we got? Or is it just still some floating head?
No, this is like in wrestling.
This is,
from
this
parts
is
unknown.
To be drafted.
Jet Roberts, maybe? Is that the name?
Well, it's not a surprise they had to pick up money. I mean, he's making $15.7 million plus that buyout he mentioned. Like, no one was just going to take it. So the Mets were going to have to pick up some cash to get the deal done. I got to admit, Tommy, I'm disappointed. Because when you said trade, I was like, all right, we got a new ball player.
I know.
I'm excited. You know, yesterday, Wilson Contreras went to Boston. But I still want a real first baseman. And then you give me, yeah, it's addition by subtraction. We got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Right, but I think that a lot of Met fans out there that have soured on Jeff McNeil, which is like 99% of the audience, fan base, would be very upset if Alonso gone, Diaz gone, Nimmo gone, and somehow Jeff McNeil remained. Just had it done.
Well, yeah, if you're stripping down, you might as well get everybody out.
I agree with you, and I am in favor of moving on from him, but it's just another piece of production that needs to be replaced. Mm-hmm. I know he's not a great ball player, but he hit 12 home runs last year at a 750 OPS. Like, he was a human who existed and had some production.
But they've already replaced him.
What?
They already replaced Jeff McNeil.
Well, they did in terms of second base, but they have two holes in the outfield. And so if you looked at Semien as replacing Nimmo, mm-hmm. or I should say Polanco is replacing Nimmo, and Semien just being an upgrade at second, they still have to replace Pete Alonso and now Jeff McNeil.
But Evan, if you got rid of the fridge in your kitchen and your wife said, well, what are we doing? You're like, well, we're going to put a new fridge there. Like, they're obviously going to trade for an outfielder at
some point. But we don't know who, and that's the big question.
Would they be better than Jeff McNeil, though, in all likelihood?
I don't know. Is Luis Robert Jr. better than Jeff McNeil?
Yes.
But the stats would tell you you're wrong.
Is his potential not better than Jeff McNeil?
No, I like Luis Robert Jr. I've had to sell him on both of you. I'm just saying, we don't know.
Robert Jr. feels like he just needs a change of scenery.
I've said that.
Right.
I think you're just repeating what I've told
you. Maybe I am, but it just... The White Sox are just... are they even trying?
By the way, you know... Yeah, they just signed Munetaka Murakami. They're going for it, baby.
And I saw in the Met chat, how soon till he gets traded?
That was me.
Exactly.
That was me saying that.
Yes. And you're right.
You know how I know that Tiki just repeated something I said? So the other day, the rumors have continued to heat up about Luis Robert Jr. And I remember right after the Mets traded Brandon Nimmo, I brought his name up. Yes. And you, Tommy, and Sean were like yelling at me, like, stop with this Luis Robert Jr. That's not what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Well, it just seemed like the lowest and easiest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even have to jump to grab that apple.
It's so easy, yet the White Sox still haven't traded him.
Not true.
But when I said to you, Luis Robert Jr., you kept putting it on me, like, do you want him? And I'm like, I think he's a buy-low candidate. Because 2 years ago, he was really good. And then finally, I said to you, I think Luis Robert Jr. just needs to change his scenery. And you're like, whatever, I think he stinks. And now you've come along, you're like, Evan, I think he needs to change his scenery.
No, I'm just saying, if you get him, who else are you going after?
There's a few options. Cody Bellinger, I think, is still someone they're targeting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get him, but I think he's still someone that they're hoping they may be able to sign. I'm not confident they're going to sign Cody Bellinger because I don't think the Mets are going to go to 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't.
It's just not in the operating manual for David Stearns.
Yeah, I read.
It's not what he likes to do with aging players.
Right, and he will be aging. And Will Salmon wrote something interesting in The Athletic about, he was basically prodding the Mets to sign Cody Bellinger and said, hey, sometimes you have to be uncomfortable, which we've talked about a lot in free agency. And he said, ideally, the Mets would love if Bellinger's market fell to 4 years. Well, here's the problem. If Cody Bellinger has to settle for a 4-year deal, he's going back to the Yankees. He's not leaving.
Why would he? Yeah. Why would he leave for something less than what the Yankees are offering?
And the Yankees, I think we all assume, will at least be offering Cody Bellinger a 4-year contract. So this idea that, well, the Mets would love to get Bellinger on a 4-year deal, I don't think they get him on a 4-year deal. Either way, breaking news, if you're just tuning in, the New York Mets have officially dumped Jeff McNeil. He is now a member of the Athletics. And they got back a single A pitcher who does not have a name yet. Once we get a name, we'll pass it along. I just want to look at some human and say, oh, that's the guy they got back.
Yeah, you want to feel some level of optimism, even if the kid has no chance of ever playing in the majors.
He's a single A player. You never know. Yordan Rodriguez.
I was right. 17.
You nailed that one. So, yes, it is official. Jeff McNeil's a former Met. The house cleaning continues from David Stearns as he goes to the A's. By the way.
He seems like a pretty good prospect, by the way.
Is he?
He's got a high K percentage.
I mean, it was in rookie ball, but
doesn't
matter.
31%.
Yes.
That's up there with Crochet.
So you think he'll make the major someday?
Yeah. Now I stand corrected.
Listen,
or sit corrected.
All he's got to do is make the majors one day, and I think we'll look back on it and say, okay, it got the job done.
It was worth it.
On Friday, I reacted very angrily to Steve Cohen's tweets in which he was talking about those idiots with payroll.
Yes.
And Steve went on Twitter later to clarify he was not talking about fans. And then I will admit, he then went later on to clarify with me that he wasn't talking about with fans. He did. He reached out to say, I'm going to paraphrase, appreciate how much you care, all that, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was not talking about the fans. And so I told him.
I'm glad he clarified that.
It's the way I interpreted it, but I trust you. And if that wasn't your intent, we're all good.
So who was he talking about then?
The
trolls?
He was talking.
As we speculated?
He was talking about the trolls. And also, I guess, some in the media that are creating concerns about the payroll. I'm not concerned about them at payroll. I'm concerned about, like, them being good enough. Mm. And I'm concerned about the direction of David Stearns. And there's still a lot more questions that need to be answered concerning this roster. But I'm not concerned Steve Cohen isn't willing to write checks. I mean, honestly, it was David Stearns who didn't want to write the check.
Right.
And we've kind of known that for 2 years. He didn't want to give Pete Alonso a 5-year mm-hmm. deal. I think they got too cute in the Edwin Diaz negotiations.
Well, he has a philosophy. And we've seen it.
Yeah.
Ever since he's been here. We know what his MO is. And so can't be surprised by it. Now, it sucks because it's Pete Alonso and it's one of your own. You wanted to see him finish his career as a Met. But if it goes against the organizational philosophy set by David Stearns, and how can you combat it?
Well, I can combat it by disagreeing.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. Because I do think in free agency, sometimes you have to go a little bit further than what you're comfortable with. If mm-hmm. you remain comfortable with every free agent signing you ever make, you're going to end up not signing a lot of free agents. That's unfortunately the name of the game. And I think, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about Cody Bellinger, and this goes for the Yankees and the Mets. Would I want to give him a 6 or 7 year deal? No. But ultimately, that may be what he ends up getting. And so you have to make a decision if you're Brian Cashman or David Stearns. Mm-hmm. Are you more willing to just not have the player and settle for something else? Or are you more willing to give a contract that maybe is a little bit out of your comfort zone because you want the player on your team? And that's the big decision you always have to make in free agency.
Right.
Let's get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Some thoughts on the Jets coming up in a few minutes as well. Let's go to Chris and Merrick. Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure.
You know, so I think Giants fans, in a way, are getting what they want, but they're not happy about it. Like, you're tanking and you're losing, but then you watch it and you're pissed off while you're watching it.
That's exactly how I felt yesterday, Chris. Exactly. I was accepting of it until I started talking about it in the post game, and I got pissed off. You're exactly right, Chris.
One thing about that, so let's say they lose out and they get the number one pick. The tape that we're watching now of Dart may create the perception that maybe he isn't the guy,
mm-hmm.
which, again, 6-8 weeks ago, everybody was saying how the Giants found their quarterback, and now it's about filling in the rest and building around him. So if they end up with the first pick, and there's a new coach, which you guys have mentioned, they may want their own guy. If Shane gets the boot, which is looking more and more likely, then you're going to have a whole new regime who, to your guy's point, may want their own guy, because then you're creating Daniel Jones 2.0. You're hiring a team that's having a quarterback kind of pushed upon them, whether they like them or not.
Yes.
I, for one, like Dart, but I'm telling you what's going to happen. And my worst fear is that they get the pick, new GM, new coach come in, say, let's start fresh because Dart's not our guy. They draft a guy like Mendoza, which we'll see. And then a team like the Rams comes in and trades for Jackson Dart, and he turns into the player we all think he could be.
Of course. Because he has the right coordinator, has the right skill position players around him. Now he's throwing the ball to Puka Nacua, and the end of Devontae Adams' career, and all of a sudden Jackson Dart's winning the Super Bowl. And then we feel like crap because we had him.
You just drew. Why couldn't you have him go to the Jets and have all that stuff
well,
happen?
Well, this is the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Honestly, think about it. The Lions trying to make, I don't know what they were doing when they made that move, because we all knew Matt Stafford was a good quarterback. He just never had the pieces around him to have success. And then you get Jared Goff, and that's great for you, Detroit. You still haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. And the Rams win the damn Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. And he's probably, if he wins the MVP, he's on his way to being Hall of Fame.
I don't know how the Lion fan views that, because they did not only get Jared Goff, but they got draft capital that helped build this roster that they have.
But they haven't been to a Super Bowl yet.
I agree.
Their window is quickly closing.
No, I agree with you, and they may never get to a Super Bowl, to your point, but I don't know if in this alternate universe where they keep Matthew Stafford into his 30s,
do they get also Jameer Gibbs? Do they get the... what was it? It's a tight end's name there. I forget.
Sam Laporta?
Laporta. Do they get all of these... Jameson Williams, do they get these guys if they don't trade Matt Stafford?
That's why I don't think they would view it as necessarily a disaster. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to win a championship, but I don't think they were winning a championship by not making that trade.
No, they're going to be a good team for the next few years. It's just, can they push through and actually get to a Super Bowl?
I do want to play you this one clip from that game yesterday, because the Lion-Steeler game had probably the weirdest ending you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I mean, as weird of an ending as you could ever see to a football game.
Yeah.
And there were so many mistakes, I think, between what was called, what was not called, and then ultimately what was eventually decided.
Yeah, they were lost.
So after the fumble or the lateral, whatever you want to call it, in which Jared Goff ended up in the end zone for a touchdown, there was a lot of confusion because there was also a flag on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, what is the final call? But what was kind of cool in the minute and a half to 2 minutes in which all the officials were conferring with each other on what to announce is that when that official was mic'd up to make the big announcement, they were deciding the game.
Yes.
Whatever they said was going to be the result. And it could have gone one or two ways. It could have been, yeah, inadvertent flag, we're picking it up, touchdown, game over, Lions win. Or it could have been, oh yeah, it's an offensive pass interference and the game is over. So that announcement was going to be epic.
Yeah.
And I thought the way it was announced was awful because it was confusing. It made the fans have no idea what was going on. And it also teased the fans into thinking we won the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Game, oh wait, we didn't win the game.
Right.
Take a listen. This was the official announcement after that bizarre ending in the Pittsburgh-Detroit game.
The ruling on the field is a touchdown, however. Number 14 on the offense. By rule, that penalty is not enforced, and there is no replay. The game is over.
Whoa.
There is no touchdown.
Whoa.
The OPI on number 14 negates the penalty. There is no replay. The game is over.
What the hell was that?
What?
I mean, think about that explanation.
Okay, so it negates the offensive pass interference negates what penalty?
That's the penalty.
So the offensive pass interference negates the offensive pass interference. There is no replay because the game is over?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, I know. What a horrible...
That is so confusing. And by the way, it's the right call because Amon Ross St. Brown ran directly into the defender, knocked him down, came back and caught the football, and then lateral it and whatever happened, whatever. It's a non-play. It's an offensive penalty on the last play of the game. Game is over. That's how he should have described it.
Yes.
Instead, it's a touchdown. However, it's a flag on... Like, you screwed up when you said it's a touchdown.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as you tell the crowd...
The refereeing has been abysmal this year.
Awful.
And it's getting worse when you hear them talk and try to explain themselves. Well,
that's what made it worse. Like, it's bad enough when there's a bad call. So last night in the Patriots-Ravens game, there was an obvious pass interference mm-hmm. that was not called. And that's bad. And yep. we see that basically every game or every week. There's a bad call. But when the official is mic'd up and has a chance to explain things to us mm-hmm. peons, and you explain it in such a clunky way... And you tease the home crowd. You start by saying, it's a touchdown.
Right.
Everybody's celebrating, right? It's a touchdown. Oh, wait. But that doesn't count because there was offense. And by the way, it was not a touchdown. Like, that would have been the other controversy. Because how many yards do you get to push him back before the whistle is blown? That's now, ridiculous.
I hear what you're saying. So forward progress stopped.
Absolutely. No, you had like four right. seconds of forward progress, and then they don't call it. Meanwhile, they called it in the Giant game a month ago against the Eagles, which is insane. So you don't call forward progress?
But they didn't call it against the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Right. But that was absurdly forward progress.
Right.
Like the idea that they even said it's ruled a touchdown, it was not a touchdown.
Right.
So look, at the end of the day, no harm, no foul, because the Pittsburgh Steelers deserve to win that game mm-hmm. based on that final sequence. But you could not have described it in a worse possible way.
I agree. It was confusing. Yeah. I'm still confused by what he said. I understand that he got it right. I'm just confused by what he said.
Let's hear it one more time for those that want to see if maybe it's less confusing than we're describing it. Here was the announcement at the end of the Steeler-Lion game.
Really on the field is a touchdown. However, pass interference, number 14 on the offense. By rule, that penalty... is not enforced, and there is no replay. The game is over. Whoa. There is no touchdown.
Whoa.
The OPI on number 14 negates the penalty. There is no replay. The game is over.
I think he mixed his words up. That's the problem. Because when he said there is no penalty, what he meant to say, there is a penalty.
Right.
And the OPI negates the touchdown, not the penalty.
Right.
So he just couldn't get his words right.
And there's no time on the clock. The game is over.
The game is over. Like, but he just said two words wrong. It screwed it all up.
I mean, and then he kept talking.
Yes.
He did that thing where when you don't know what the hell you're talking about, instead of just shutting up, you just keep going.
Right.
Like, he just kept going. Like, right. Oh, and then number 85 and this and that and negates this, and then the replay's gone. Like, dude, just stop it.
Right.
You know what he should have done? Turn the mic on and said, Steelers win. Drop mic and leave.
That's right.
That's it. We got it. Let's go to Mark in Huntington, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Surprised you didn't know this. It seems that most stadiums, or all stadiums that have retractable roofs, have a self-imposed rule that if it's less than 40 degrees, they have to close the roof.
Okay, so here's the question with that, because I was reading the same thing during the last break. It's a self-imposed rule by the team. So what Tiki is suggesting is if the Kansas City Chiefs say, hey, a part of our heritage is cold weather games, we're not going to do that rule. We're actually going to keep it open no matter how cold it is. We're only going to close it for snow or rain.
Right, or lightning.
Or light, right, which is the great example, because obviously lightning delays games. None of those other things delays games.
No. And snow, you kind of would want. Rain, actually, you don't mind.
I agree. So I go back to this. Other than lightning, what is the point of the dome? Like, football is meant to be played in the elements.
I agree with
that. And you've got these classic franchises who have historic games in the mm-hmm. elements saying, we don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. It bothers me a little bit because I like the weather as a character in the games. I really do.
I agree.
It just makes it more challenging. It makes you have to think about how you feel more than the opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you, it makes you a coward sometimes. Like, you don't want to get hit. You're like, oh my God, it's so cold. I don't want to get hit. And now all of a sudden you have to break through that mentally in order to have success.
And think about this. In the NFC North, which is all cold weather cities, Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, cold weather, Minnesota, Minneapolis, cold weather. Two of those teams have decided we're going to play indoors, Detroit and Minnesota. How many Super Bowls have they been to? Since Minnesota went indoors, none. The answer is zero. The answer with Detroit, zero. By the way,
that would be zero in Espanol.
Thank you. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, they've been to a few.
Been nada. No idea.
So think about that. There's results that would show you you don't benefit from moving inside.
No, you don't, even though it feels better.
Yes.
And you can monetize the unused inventory of the stadium a little bit better.
Well, if that's what matters, then I can't argue. I mean,
sometimes it is about money.
Well, if it's about money and it's about using the stadium year-round, I'm not going to argue with it. No. I'm just arguing as a football fan and just arguing for the competitive edge that I think you get as a football fan. Now, when you think of the Chiefs division, think about who they're competing with. They're facing a Los Angeles team, a Vegas team, both in domes, and then you've got one cold weather potential team in Denver. You're leaving the Broncos with a major edge in the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos don't really... I'm trying to think. Does it get, like, very, very cold up
there? It can. It gets extreme. So, like, Denver's the kind of city.
But one day it could be 60.
Correct.
And the next day it could be 4 inches of snow.
Right. But you can get it.
So it's 71 degrees today in Denver.
Which is unbelievable.
And Sunday it's going to be 42 degrees. So a 30-degree drop-off in 6 days.
Wow. Yeah. So it's not, look, Denver is not Green Bay. No. It is not Detroit. It's not one of those cold weather cities. But I still think if the Chiefs move into this dome as being reported today, the Broncos are going to have a big edge. Let's go to Kenny in Bayside. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, gentlemen. Awesome show. Tommy, break a leg. Listen, the Jets and the Bills have been playing outdoors for years. They haven't been to the Super Bowl in a long time. Go be Kenny. 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 Buy house, house, cars, books. Go Buchanan, go Buchanan, baby. Go Buchanan, 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 go
doughboy. You know what a doughboy is, Tommy?
It means you're chubby.
No.
No.
What do you mean? Of course it is. After Pillsbury Doughboy, they call people like that are heavy doughboy.
In 1856, 1857.
So it's money.
No.
No? What would dough money or dough being fat?
Doughboy.
Oh, dough like a deer.
No, I'll keep
a
going.
Female deer?
No.
What would another name for dough?
Show will never end if we actually wait for Tommy to figure it out.
Come on. I'm not alone not knowing what this is.
Okay, no, this is educational.
But I'm trying to think, what would dough mean in the 1800s? Oh, pizza.
do you want the answer?
Yeah, I guess.
He was a northerner with southern sympathies.
Sympathies.
Okay.
Right. He backed the Dred Scott decision, which basically led to the Civil War.
Yes.
Oh, I feel stupid right now. Knowing that.
And then after the North won the Civil War, it led to the Civil Rights Act of 1866.
There you go.
Wow.
Which ultimately became the 14th Amendment.
Did you write that stuff down, Tommy?
No. Okay. But it's in the old noggin now. I'll never forget.
All right. There's a few things.
This is the whole rabbit hole that the Buchanan thing sent me down. I knew all this stuff, but it was good to get a refresher.
And the best part is,
I was like, oh, that's all connected.
The go Buchanan, go guy isn't even referring to that Buchanan.
But that's the only Buchanan I care about.
Yeah, I don't care about any other Buchanan. What other Buchanan we care? Oh, what was that wrestler's name? Remember there was a wrestler?
Oh, Bull Buchanan.
Bull. Didn't he help John Cena early in his career?
Now I got to look up Pat Buchanan.
I think he was in Right to Censor.
Oh, that was a different group.
Yes.
Pat Buchanan ran for president he ran for president a bunch of times, but I think his most serious bid was in 1996 for the Republican nomination against guys like Steve Forbes.
Oh, he's still alive. He's 87.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Very, very old. And he lost that election to Bob Dole. And then Bob lost to Bill Clinton. And there you go. And here we are today. How about that? Quick break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Jets. We'll get into Aaron Glenn, who now apparently is safe. Plus more of your calls on the Giants and what the hell we all witnessed on Sunday. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Evan and Tiki on a very busy Christmas Eve.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.